You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Good morning, everyone. We are in the series called All and Nothing. We are on the series on the book of Colossians, and what we wanted to achieve is to study about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of God's work through Christ on the cross. The supremacy of Christ, that He is preeminent, and the sufficiency of Christ's work on the cross. And we said that Christ is above all, nothing more, nothing less. That he is preeminent above all that has been created and made, and nothing more, nothing less can add. You cannot add to what He has done on the cross. Last week, Pastor Steve preached a powerful message. How many of you were here and you appreciated that message? Amen. And so Pastor Steve talked about this, and he said that we will never understand who we are until we know who He is. And I want to build on what he said last week, that you and I will never understand who we are until we know who He is. If we have the wrong Christology, then we will have a messed up anthropology, ultimately a messed up biography, okay, our life. And so I want to start off by telling a story. This was a story I heard when I was a teenager. It was a long time ago. I'm not sure if this is a real story. You can check CNN or BBC. But there was a story about a chicken and an eagle. And so this chicken and eagle, what happened was there was a farmer who found an eagle egg. And so the farmer got the eagle egg and somehow didn't want to lose it or it to die. And so he mixed it up with all the other chicken eggs. And so the mother hen comes and sits on all the eggs until all hatched. And so obviously there would be a bunch of chicks and one eaglet. And so now all the years that the eagles, or actually not the years, but the months, that as the eaglet would grow, would think he was part of the family. He was a chicken. And so he would try to peck like a chicken and crow like a chicken and run as fast. I was researching this. Did you know that chickens can run as fast as 9 miles per hour? Yeah, I found out about that. And so he would try to run as fast as he could, but for some reason he could not be like one of the brother sister chickens. And so he's an eagle, but all his life tried to be like a chicken, until one day asks his mom, mommy hen. He looked up at the sky, and there was this one eagle that was swooshing and flying, and it was fast, and said, "Mom, what is that?" The eagle asked. And the mommy says, "Well, that, my son, is an eagle. That's the king of the skies. They're the kings of the skies, but we're just supposed to be here on earth. Okay, we're just here on the ground. I want to be like him. I want to fly like him." I says, "No, you are just a chicken." Sad story, because all his life until his death, he never flew. He just pecked, crowed, clucked like a chicken. You see, I tell you that story because when we don't know our identity, it'll be impossible for us to fulfill our destiny. If you don't know who you are and who God called you to be and what His plans are for you, that'll never unfold, because you don't know who you are, and therefore, because of that, your purpose will not be able to follow through. The eagle remained a chicken all his life. Okay, at least acted like a chicken all his life. Now, I want to show you a picture here. Okay, this is a Taptic engine. Okay, does anybody know what this is for? It's a nice picture, right? It's shiny. It has gold stuff on the back or towards the end. A Taptic engine. And you might say, okay, that's great. That's a beautiful picture, Paolo. But what is it for? You want to know the purpose. But you see, the Taptic engine is actually the technology that provides tactile sensations in the form of vibrations on your iPhone. Okay? And so that's what Apple invented. And so, but only the designer can dictate its destiny. It'll say, this is a Taptic engine and this is what it's for. And you see, you and I today have been designed. You and I today have a destiny. You and I today have been designed by a designer to fulfill a certain destiny. No other can dictate that or define that for you. You and I today, that's why people can't define that for you, because it depends on who you're talking to. Not even experiences can define that for you today, your purpose and reason for living, because depending on what experience you have, it'll change and shift from time to time. But that's why, whether that's purpose in life, reason for existence, or your sexual identity, others can't define that for you. Only God can, because He designed you for a specific design, a destiny that He alone can define for you. Only your designer can dictate your destiny. Colossians 1:21, this is where Pastor Steve left off last week. He said, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." Look at that verse. He says, "You who once were," past tense. He was reminding the church in Colossae, this is who you were. This is no longer who you are. You were alienated. Okay, alienated. Alienated meaning you were so far away from God. Hostile. And anything that had relation to God, you were pushing against. Some of you might have had that background. Or doing evil deeds, it was just like a normal thing for us to do. We didn't even think about it. We just blurted out bad words. We just hated people. We just said things or thought impure thoughts about another. It was just normal things we did. But he said, "You who once were." This is no longer who you are. And then the next verse he says, "And he has now." This is who you were. This is who you are now. You've been reconciled in the body of the flesh by his death in order to present you holy, blameless, above reproach before them, before him. Who is he? That's Jesus. Jesus, okay, he said, once you were alienated, you were hostile, you were doing evil deeds. Now you've been reconciled by Jesus, by his death. You're now holy, you're blameless, you are above reproach. This is who you are because of what he's done. Okay, so every single person here today, if you're a Christ follower, you've given your life to Christ, God sees you as holy, whether you believe it or not. You are blameless in his eyes because of your faith in Christ. He no longer sees what you've done. It's as if, okay, you've never sinned. That's what it means to be justified. And then above reproach. That through his eyes, you are above reproach. It's kind of like Steve Rogers becoming Captain America, right? From when a skinny, scrawny little young man, it's like, boom, it's like all buffed and all. And so, but that's not just external, but even the inside has changed the way God sees you. Now, what did we receive as a result of this reconciliation? What did we receive as a result of, you know, we've been reconciled, the Bible says. We go into Colossians chapter 2. This is what we're going to read today. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 15. Can I ask everybody to stand on their feet? We stand to honor God's word. And want to read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Bible says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Verse 8. "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, nor according to Christ, and not according to Christ. But for in him, the whole fullness of deity, the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with human hands, but putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead." Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we're grateful, God, for the wisdom of your word and the way that you're able to bring, Lord, light unto our path. The word is like a lamp unto our feet. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would speak. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would let the word pierce our hearts today. When Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the word cut to their hearts. I pray, Lord, that your word will cut to our hearts today, this morning, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may go and have a seat. Thank you. Paul was talking to the church in Colossae, and Colossae was in the area of Asia Minor. He has never been to Colossae. In fact, Colossae is actually the modern-day Turkey. It's in modern-day Turkey. And so Colossae was a church, a thriving church, a growing church. He's never been there, but it was born out of a ministry when Paul preached in Ephesus, and most likely a man named Epaphras brought the message of the gospel, the salvation through Jesus Christ in the area of Colossae. Now while in prison, in the Roman prison, Paul writes to the church in Colossae, "I wish I could be there with you guys. I can't make it, and I'm here in prison. But here are some of the thoughts I want to share with you." And so he starts talking about the things that he wrote in Colossians. Part of that was the Colossian heresy. What was the Colossian heresy? There were teachings that were, attacking the deity of Jesus Christ. And so Colossians chapter 6-7, the Bible says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, walk in him. Continue to live in him. Be rooted." All right? NIV says to continue to live in him, to be rooted and built up and established. Watch out, he says, because there are unbiblical teachings out there. And it's not different from today. There are teachings that if you filter from the Word of God, it's not from Scripture. There are unbiblical teachings about grace today that says, as long as you have Christ in your life, you can sin anytime now. You don't even have to repent. Just, he's forgiven you. And so there are teachings about easy believism, meaning just pray a prayer of salvation, then you're saved without even understanding what your faith is. And so there's wrong teachings out there. And he says in verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Human tradition. If this is the standard, then it depends who you're talking to. Depends from culture to culture, generation to generation. And some of the philosophies that we were being taught then, I shared this a couple of weeks ago, the philosophies of men, they denied the preeminence of Christ that time. There were Judaistic ceremonialism. They were saying, you can be a Christian, but you have to add works. Okay, faith plus works, then you become saved. But the Bible says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith and not by works," Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And then there was angel worship that was happening. Okay, detracted from the uniqueness of Christ. They were worshiping angels. And then there was ascetism. They were beating their body to control the lusts in their body. And so there were these different teachings. And part of that was Gnosticism. Another teaching that was talking about, since matter is evil, then therefore our bodies are evil. Then Jesus, if you're saying that Jesus is both God and man, then he can't be God because part of him is human. So these were the teachings that were going on. In verse 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." So he refutes it. He says, Jesus is both God and man. The fullness of deity in bodily form. Now, what did we receive, as I said, as a result of this reconciliation? Number one, a new nature. Let's talk about this. Three things I want to talk to you about today. A new nature. Number one, he says in verse 12, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who also raised him from the dead." You were buried, but now raised. There's a new nature. You're no longer your old you. You're a new you. There's a new nature. Before, you had no power to resist sin. Now you have the power to resist sin. Ephesians chapter 2 says we were dead in our transgressions. A dead person has no power to turn on or switch off the lights. A dead person has no power to, to say stop doing what you're doing because he's lifeless. We were lifeless. We have no power to resist sin. And yet God says he made us alive through Christ. We were raised with him. Ephesians chapter 4 says, "Clothe yourself to new nature, which was created according to God's image in righteousness and true holiness." You get a lion, and you get a lion to choose between steak and lettuce. What will he choose? Obviously, it's steak. Won't eat the lettuce. Okay, he's a carnivore. But if for some reason you could get goat's DNA and inject it in the lion, and somehow the internal genetic makeup changes. Now his nature has changed. Give him a choice between steak and lettuce. He'll go for the lettuce or the grass. You see, it's not the external, it's the internal. When God changes the nature from the inside, then behavior will follow after. Sometimes we're so stuck on changing external behavior, we have not changed the internal, and there's no new nature. Then because of the new old nature, it's still the old affections. We still follow the old desires and run after the things that we used to run after, thinking, oh, I thought I've changed. No, it's just an external change. We just started going to church. We just started reading the Bible. We just started praying. It's all external. But if it's not changing on the inside, behavior will remain. You'll revert back. It's not new behavior, but new affections. And new affections mean coming from a new nature. Kind of like that lion illustration. You run after the lettuce, and that lion will start saying, bah, all right? Because it's no longer a lion. There's the new nature inside. It's not new behavior. It's new affections. Spoke to Pastor Joey, had lunch with a young man recently. And he was just talking about, traveled around the world. He studied in Boston, studied in New York. He's done the rounds. And he's met all the most beautiful women in the world and has had relationships with them and physical intimacy with them. And yet he said at the end of it all, it was meaningless and it wasn't fulfilling at all. And I've tried to change. I've tried to do things to change my ways, but I reverted because it was external. Self-help books may help, but it's not completely helpful. But he said, when Jesus captivated my heart, everything changed. My affections changed because my nature changed. Again, it's not new behavior, it's new affections. When the nature changes, then you desire another thing. Kind of like, again, going back to that lion, I like grass, I like lettuce, I like cabbage. No longer do I run after steak because I am a goat. Bah. Number two, new record. New record. Now, those of you who've been following the Olympics, Usain Bolt just got a triple-triple. 2008, 100-meter dash, 200-meter dash in the relay. And then same with 2012. And then now, yesterday, he just completed his third triple gold. He's become the GOAT now, okay? Greatest of all time. But he was coming from a blank record to adding those triple-triple. But you see, the Bible says in Colossians 2:13, you were dead. You were coming from a negative. You were not coming from a clean slate. You were coming from a negative. There was an uncircumcision of the flesh. God made you alive, forgave you. And then he says, canceling the debt, the record of debt. We had a record of debt, the Bible says. The new record from debt now is from the new record is from debt to freedom. And you know the word record there in the Greek? It actually means handwritten. There was really actually literally a handwriting of all the debt. Now, let me show you what I mean. In the olden days, they didn't have typewriters, or they didn't have computers, they didn't have printing presses. And so when you have... There was like a record of debt. There was a handwriting that said, this is what you've done. And these are the debts that you had. And, you know, applying that to our life, whether that's lying or greed or pride or lust, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, envy. I mean, you can add all the other stuff from purity, everything, selfishness. Just add everything else about you. What was the record of debt that you had? But the Bible says he canceled it. He took it away. He said, Jesus took it, and he canceled that, and it's gone. When he died on the cross, that's all gone. In fact, Micah chapter 7, verse 18, look at what the Bible says. Who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? For the remnant of his inheritance, he does not retain his anger forever. Aren't you glad he doesn't retain anger forever? Because he delights in steadfast love. And then he says, he again will have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot, cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. He will tread our sins underfoot. He stepped on it, and then what does he do? He throws it in the depths of the sea. No longer, somebody said it this way, he puts a no fishing sign. Because sometimes we tend to go back and say, what is it again? I revert. But he's cast it to the depths of the sea. No fishing allowed. Third thing, new status. New status. Bible says he disarmed the rulers and authorities, put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. There's a new status, new record. From dead to being raised, from being in debt to now being free, and now from being defeated to being in the place of victory. That's what we have in Christ. See, the enemy has no authority over you any longer. The Bible says that. He disarmed. The picture here was, in the olden days, the reason why Paul was referring to this, whenever there was a war and one kingdom wins over the other, all right, what they would do is they would strip off the armor and take away all the weapons. They would disarm them, and they will have a triumphal procession. And so the enemy has no longer authority over you, the Bible says. You can stand up to the enemy and tell him, I am free. Addictions, I am free. Greed, I am free. Lust, I am free. Immorality, I am free. Materialism no longer has hold on me. I am free. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Bitterness, unforgiveness, I am free. God's disarmed you. No longer have you any weapon or sword or spear that will harm me. I am free. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And then he says, he put them out to open shame. Again, this is the triumphal procession. There's an allusion to the treatment of the enemies when they're conquered. This is what's happening here. Okay, they are stripped off their armor. It's like a disrobing. It's like when the king comes for the enemy that's been conquered, they take off the robe. They disrobe them. They take out the armor. They take out no authority any longer. And so you can actually stand up and wake up every single day and say, this no longer has power over me. God's disarmed all this. I have victory. Bringing back that list on the page. Sometimes we, you know, we try to fish and pick this up. But God says he's trampled over it. And he's thrown it to the uttermost depths, parts, the depths of the sea. He's thrown it away. Okay, and he's given us a new record. But you know what? It's not just a new record of blank slate. You know what he does? He gives us something new. The Bible says, you're forgiven. You're complete in him, the Bible says. Bible says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. The Bible says you're accepted. You're a child of God, John chapter 1, verse 12. This is who you are in Christ. And so you know when you wake up in the morning, that's why the Bible talks about in Ephesians, you put off the old self and you put on the new self. It's like putting on your new shoes or putting on your clothes every day. It's like every single, do you ever get tired of putting your shoes on every day? It's just become a habit, isn't it? Do you get tired of putting on your shirt every day? Oh, okay, I'm going to go to the office today, no shirt today. I mean, just, you don't. You just go to church, you go to school, you go to the office, you go wherever you put your shoes on. That's why every day we wake up in the morning, this is something we need to get used to every day. I am forgiven. Devil, you have nothing on me today. I remember Martin Luther was praying one time, and the enemy started listing down the things he's done all his life. He said, "You're calling yourself a Christian, but you did this. You were an immoral person. You were that, this, that, this, that." You know what Martin Luther said? "You know what? You're right, devil. In fact, that list is incomplete. As like this, like this, like this, like this. But all that's been canceled and has been forgiven, and I am accepted because of the blood of Jesus." That's what you need to do every day. I am complete in Him. Whether you're single, married, you're a young person, old person, the greatest lie of this generation is what Jerry Maguire said. It's not one person that completes you. It's Jesus that completes you. And then you can do all things through Christ. And you think today that you are incomplete and insecure, and you have not, you're weak. But in your weakness, God's strength is made perfect in you, the Bible says. And then you are a child, and you're accepted, a child of God. You don't have to try to perform, because of when Jesus died on the cross, He's accepted you as His son and as His daughter. We don't have to perform. And performance orientation is such a problem these days. It's an issue. Because growing up, that's my story, that's some of your story. You were rejected, and you felt you needed to measure up because you were compared to brother, you compared to sister or kuya. You were compared, and so you tried to measure up. But the Bible says, you don't have to try to measure up. I died on the cross for you. You are accepted. You don't have to perform in my presence. I just love you the way you are. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of all things, Jim. Lord, you are a God who gives a fresh start, Lord. When we have messed up our own lives, and we have, Lord, done things to offend you and really end up creating our own problems. A couple of things I want to pray for today as we end. Number one, if you're here today and you want that fresh start, Jesus said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new things have come. And Jesus died on the cross so that you can have a fresh start. And it starts by believing that he died on the cross and that he was raised to life. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here today, you want to give your life to Christ, whether you're on live stream or you're in this room right here, raise up your hand. If you say, I'm surrendering my life to Christ, He is my Lord and my Savior. Starting today, I acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior, and I am responding to that invitation from Him. Just lift up your hands. There's several of you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Just lift up your hands. Come on. God bless you. There's several of you. Praise God. Praise God. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Acknowledge that you are Lord. Lord of my life. This day forward, my life is yours. It's always been yours, but today I acknowledge it's all yours. Thank you for forgiving me from all my sins. And by faith, I will walk with you until the very last breath by your grace. In Jesus' name, I pray. You can put your hands down. Another thing I want to pray for is this. Some of you here today, you know you're a Christ follower, but somehow you've fished and got that list again, and you've reverted, and somehow that, you know, the enemy will tempt you, but if he can't tempt you, he'll accuse you. That's what he'll do. If he can't tempt you, he's going to accuse you and say, you call yourself a believer? You are like this, and you were like... That's what Paul said, you once were, but now you have been reconciled. And that's why I want to read this verse as we end, And if we could flash that at the keynote again. As we wrap up our time here, one final prayer I want to pray for is for you guys. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, there is now. Everybody say now. Now. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the devil has nothing over you. Nothing over you. Nothing over you. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from Christ in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. He will tell you, you were like this, you were like that, you were like this, you were bitter, you were angry, you were a homosexual, you were an immoral person, you were adulterer, you idolater, you were greedy. Yeah, that's right, I was like that. But I am now no longer that. And there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, I pray. If that's you, just lift up your hands. Lord, Lord, all of us, Lord, here, we sometimes revert, and the enemy will try to accuse and condemn. But condemnation is never from you, Lord. It's conviction, yes, but never condemnation. And so, Lord, today, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would set your people free from every condemnation. But Lord, in Christ, we are free. In Christ, we have been raised to life. In Christ, there is newness and there's freshness. In Christ, we have all that we need. And so, Lord, as we leave today, I pray that your righteousness, your peace and joy would accompany us. Lord, thank you that we are free. New record, new status. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.